Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Jordi, Messi, Jordi, el Santo Messi!
Messi Anko, Breaking Major League en la Ciudad del Sol. Here in Miami, we know who's el campeón. Leo, my team, yeah. Suárez on the field, always wedding day team. Con yeah. Muchachas un win, the trio five singing muchachos. La familia se escucha en los barrios. Esta camiseta pinky la llevan todos los guachos. Los rookies quedan sin comentarios. Messi ambetea, tiki-taki gol. El estadio Chase bañado en lloro y sudor. Aquí se ama y se respeta el balón. Florida es tu casa, acostúmbrate al calor. Estate listo pa' Messi Anko. Estate listo pa' Messi Anko.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Messi & Co. I'm Ashley, here as always with my incredible co-host, Gian. And today, another special guest, we're just churning out special guests, and that's Matt from SoFlo Soccer. What is up, Matt? Welcome to the show.
What's up, guys? Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here and can't wait to talk, you know, about Inter Miami.
Oh, we're excited to have you. Now, we obviously know you from Twitter and from some of your content on YouTube. You're a huge Inter Miami fan and a soccer fan in general. So tell the people a little bit about you and you know, what you like.
Yeah, no, I mean, I started SoFlo Soccer like literally last year, like in the beginning of last year. And I wanted a platform to express myself in terms of, you know, just everything soccer related, the Argentina national team, a Premier League, La Liga, all of the above. And then once the MLS season started, I was like, you know what? I've been a season ticket member at Inter Miami for like 4 years, 5 years now. Let me cover them. I talk about them all the time, and that's the sort of content that I post on my channel, and it's been really going well. So, and I've been putting all that content on YouTube with live streams and post game analysis videos and things like that, and it's been a lot of fun.
Awesome. Love it. Well, welcome. We're excited to have you. And we have a lot to talk about on this episode. We're actually going to do this episode a little different than normal, try out a new format, which is basically there's so much news happening with Inter Miami that we know about in this preseason, whether it's, you know, players, matches, roster, you know, training, all those things, coaching, so many changes happening, and we want to go through as many of them as possible. So we're going to call this a little Inter Miami weekend update, and we're going to kind of hit some of those hot topics and things that people have been tweeting about, posting about, interested in, and give our thoughts and knock through it. So are we ready to go?
Let's go. Let's do it.
Vamos. Okay. Well, first and foremost, Luis Suarez's birthday is today. He's just turned 38 years old, our number 9. One of, I'd say, you know, probably top 10 striker of all time. I mean, you know, if you're going through the numbers, people can have different opinions. But one of the best strikers of all time, our current, you know, number 9, who had a great season last season and is hopefully back for more. What are we thinking? I mean, 38, he feels like he's been 38 for like 5 years. So I don't know.
He's moved like he's been like 38.
So yeah. Yeah.
His legs have been 38 for his knees have been like 60. For, No, but like 30, happy birthday to the number 9 on Inter Miami. I mean, definitely 1 year older, 1 year wiser. Hopefully he ages like a fine mate, I guess I would say. Or
that's a great way to put it. I think that's the best way to put it.
100%. But hey, look, man, he's a guy that scores a lot of goals for Inter Miami, assists on a lot of goals. And I just think that, you know, hopefully knowing that he's 1 year older and knowing that he's had some issues, they kind of just focus on the longevity of his career, focus on the amount of minutes that they're going to give him this season to make sure that he's available when we need him most, and just take care of our goal scorer. We're definitely going to need him with the amount of tournaments that we have in 2025. You know, and Inter Miami bringing in some speed up top and some young guys that can really help fill in those roles when Suarez isn't on the field. I think this is going to be an interesting season to see how much playing time our 38-year-old striker gets.
Especially with Campana being traded. What are your thoughts about that? And you think Lewis is ready to handle the whole season?
Look, I think, honestly, I don't know if it was anybody else, but I was definitely a Suarez doubter when he first joined the club, because even though he was a superstar signing, this is Luis Suarez we're talking about, right? But when somebody's coming in at 37 years old with the medical history that he had, it's like, oh, is this guy going to be able to last? Is he going to be able to run? And in the beginning, we didn't see that. I felt like we didn't see him kind of keep up with the game as best as he could. But then what happened? He ended up being one of the best or one of the top goal scorers in the MLS. And honestly, and he's just been our go-to guy when it came to scoring along with Messi. So, and now that Campana's gone, which I think, honestly, I'm pretty happy with the financial deal behind that, because I honestly think New England really overpaid for Campana, giving us international roster slot and all that gammon, whatever. But anyway, with all of that, like, I think Suarez is, he's going to get more game time, but he's been looking good in the preseason. And now that we're having all more depth in that position with Tadeo, and maybe we can see Leofonso, maybe we can see Fafa up there. I don't know, whoever it may be, I think it's going to be good regardless. So we all question his knees, but at the end of the day, he's going to put 20 goals up there, or 15 goals at least in the season.
It doesn't matter what his knees look like or how they move. As long as the ball goes in the back of the net.
As long as he shoots and hits the net, that's it.
Agreed. No, I agree. I think, we all were anxious to see how it would turn out last year. And I mean, there were obviously some factors out of his control with the overall roster and the team and the tournament, et cetera. But yeah, he scored a lot of goals, played really well. I remember actually at the season opener last year against Real Salt Lake, I'm pretty sure it was the home game. I was there in the stands and he didn't score a goal, but I remember watching him being like, that's like a level above what we've ever seen before, because just the way he was creating and setting people up and his runs and, you know, his personality, just still, you know, an absolute star. But what I do want to now, moving on from that, you mentioned it with Campana, and something that's been big in the news this week, international roster spots for Inter Miami. We've acquired 2 international roster spots this week alone. Obviously, we know that was part of the Campana trade. Mm-hmm. What does it mean for this team? I mean, we knew that this team has had to continuously, you know, work through the MLS roster requirements and having the big names, you know, having Messi, having et cetera, put some strain on what the rest of the team can look like. But looking for new ways to bring in players, bring out players overall. Just Matt, let's start with you. What are you thinking? Like, are you interesting? What's going to happen? Like, you know, what are we doing?
Like, this is something this has always been expected from Inter Miami, always bringing in international players. And now with bringing all the Barcelona alumni class, right? Like, now having all of those guys, it's really, really attracting a lot of international players, especially Argentinian players, right? Specifically, I honestly, a lot of people don't like the fact that we're getting all these international players and would prefer like more domestic talent. I'd say whatever makes us win. I feel like if the international players and having all these international roster slots just allows us to create a better team and allows us to keep these players, because we can have as many as we want. We can have a million international players if we really wanted to, if we comply with the rules. I think that it's great what Inter Miami are doing acquiring these international roster spots, and getting like younger talent that we could potentially have for like the next couple of years, and even sell them on for bigger profits, like we did with Diego Gomez. Like, yeah. if we keep doing that, let's get some more. I want some more international roster spots.
Yeah, I for me, it's interesting like kind of figure out what are they doing? Like, what do they have up their sleeves with so many international roster spots? And it kind of begs the question, like, is this more of a planning for the future? Do they have, you know, there's obviously been rumors of certain types of players coming in, rumors of Neymar, basically any big name out there that is either disgruntled, they're going into free agency, is always tied with Inter Miami. Or is it more of, hey, you know, you've brought in some guys like Tadeo, Telasco, Luján, like, are these just roster spots that they need, these international roster spots, to be able to bring some of these guys in and be do everything according, obviously, to the rules and the roster rules and all that sort of thing? So, unfortunately, there's a little bit of obscurity when it comes to this kind of stuff. There's not as much transparency in MLS as there is in other sports like the NBA and that sort of thing. But we'll find out soon enough. But I think for me, part of it may be just them having to bring in some of these guys that they've recently signed or made official, just to kind of make it roster compliant. And the other side is, who knows, maybe they're going to save one of those, maybe there's a few more that they're going to get, keep them up their sleeve for a move sometime in mid-season. As we know, with the roster rules now, they can set their team up a certain way right now and now have the flexibility to switch that out, I believe it's in July of this year, and kind of change their model for their team. They can go, you know, two DPs and four young DPs, or U22s now, and then switch that up mid-year. So maybe they're saving that for sometime mid-year, which, you know, let those Neymar rumors, they're going to continue through July. So
And it's funny that you say that, because I've talked about this on my channel as well. Like, at any point, especially, well, we're going to get to it later, but I won't mention it now. But if we ever decide to switch over to that 3DP path, then that's really going to be interesting, because it's either, because I feel like there's no way we would bring somebody like a Jordi or something as a DP, or like we would upgrade him to a DP. We would definitely have to bring in somebody, maybe like a Neymar, like you said, or maybe somebody along, you know, something similar in that caliber. Yeah. But no, it's very interesting, and it really has us questioning. It really has us excited.
it is exciting. That's what, like, we really. That's why we said there's so many things to talk about. There's so many topics, because we really don't know what's, you know, we have a couple ideas, we have some thoughts, but what they're going to do in the end. Look, Jorge Mas and David Beckham have said repeatedly, and even recently, that there is no budget. We are trying to get the greatest team, the best players, make it one of the biggest clubs in the world. And I, so far, so good with Jorge Mas. He's doing it. So it'll be interesting to see what that looks like. Someone we do know, or two people we do know who have officially signed, of course, Tadeo and Oscar. Got their work visas, officially part of the squad. I'm very excited about Tadeo. I think he's obviously had a little bit of a rough patch the last year, but has had some great highlights, exciting. And any young talent who wants to come play with Messi and help us, you know, improve that offense is good to me.
Yeah, agreed. We'll see, because I think it's important. Obviously, there have been some signings, other guys like, I just mentioned Luján is one of them, and Telasco also, but they haven't been able to play because they haven't received their visas. We were hoping that they could maybe get some playing time against America, but now going into what remains of the preseason, we know that we'll probably be able to see maybe Oscar and Tao get some minutes against their next rival in this preseason tour of the America. So that'll be interesting to see. And again, that's just part of it. Sometimes we wonder, we see some of these guys get signed, and like, why aren't they playing? There's a lot of things that go behind the scenes and document paperwork that has to be done. So it's just good to be able to count with more of these guys moving forward. And as Mascherano said recently in the press conference, anybody that's available for the team is going to go ahead and continue to travel with them as they continue this preseason tour.
I honestly can't wait for these guys to start getting some action with the club. I mean, like, especially with Tadeo. I mean, and like you said, like he's had like a rough patch, especially when he went to Europe. He wasn't really getting too much game time, but now this is a young kid, a young Argentinian player playing alongside, you know, some of his idols. He's going to want to prove himself, and he's going to want to show to everybody that he belongs here, that he's here to compete and win and play and score. And whether that's going to be on the wing, on the striker position, like I think he's going to be fantastic, especially whether that's as a replacement or maybe not a replacement, but as a backup to Suarez or maybe our starting wing or whatever the case may be. I think it's very exciting. And with Luján and the others as well as Telasco, super, super exciting. And I can't wait. I'm so excited to see these guys take action. Hopefully they're available soon.
Matt, Tadeo over Campana or Campana over Tadeo?
Well, okay, that's not a fair question because we have not seen Tadeo yet. Campana on
impressions.
I honestly wish we still had Campana. Like, he had a chance to do something great here at Inter Miami, but I understand the reason why he left. I'm really hoping that Tadeo can be the Campana, what Campana could have been. It was the same thing with Julian Carranza, like off topic. It was the same thing with Julian Carranza. Julian Carranza could have been something really great if Higuain didn't take over too much. But hopefully Tadeo can be that guy.
100%.
Agree. I mean, and you know, something that came up a lot during last season was just availability, right? And being able to, if Messi and Suarez aren't available or they need rest or international duty. I mean, that won't be for Suarez anymore. But, you know, with Messi, international duty, injury, fatigue, all of those things, you know, it's good that we have these players who we think are incredibly strong to either start or come off the bench or be part of, like, I don't want to say B team, but, you know, being able to supply when you don't have Messi and Suarez, or you want to add to Messi and Suarez. But obviously, we have Fafa, we have Robert Taylor, we have Julian Gressel. I mean, there's a lot of players who can play on the wing, and, you know, no Diego Gomez, no Matias Rojas, and then we're going to talk about in a little bit, obviously, Facundo Farias. It's important to be bringing in these players that we think can reach that caliber. So excited for Tadeo, for sure. Now, how about who's going to be not scoring the goals, but defending the goals, blocking the goals? Guys, look at my, I spend all my time working on transitions. Okay. So I just dream about transitions.
It's flawless. It's flawless.
Thank you. I appreciate it. But yeah, so those are the people scoring the goals. Now here's who's defending our goal.
Ashley has more transitions than a PowerPoint, man. She's a beast at that.
PowerPoint comes to her for help. Yeah.
I try. I do my best. But obviously, our number one goalkeeper as of last season, and we haven't heard anything different, Drake Callender, was with the U.S. men's national team for this camp. However, had to pull out with a injury that we're not 100% sure what it is. Bit disappointing, obviously, because excited that he got a chance with, you know, some of the U.S. men's team that normally don't make that initial A roster, but still have some potential. Another one of his teammates, Kremaski, who I want to give flowers to after. But yeah, I mean, are we nervous about Drake? Is it good that he's going to have this healthy competition? Maybe, you know, it's not a given that he's going to be starting. Obviously, we don't want him to be injured, but I don't know. It's people go up and down with Drake, right?
Yeah. I'm going to take the reins here a little bit because there has been so much Drake hate, and I don't know if it's like people are doing it on purpose or not.
Since Kendrick's verse.
But it's so crazy to me because I think I want to take a different approach to it because everybody's always arguing who's going to start over who. I think this is great competition for Drake because he was our number one goalkeeper for a while. And then last season, he honestly didn't have any. Like, it was just him through and through. We had Dos Santos, we had Jensen, but respect to those guys, they weren't going to start. I think Dos Santos, I think maybe had two appearances last year. So there was no competitive, there was no challenge for Drake in net. But now with Ustari, who's probably going to play more of a, maybe, I don't know, he could play more of a role as a backup keeper. But now we have Rocco coming in as well, competing and fighting for that spot, I think is going to be very interesting. I feel like our goalkeeping situation is very, it looks a lot better now than last year.
Yeah, a little bit of competition is always healthy, I think. Yeah. It makes you stay on your toes. I think that any player that really gets too comfortable in their position could sometimes regress. So that's always good. I still think that he's the top guy right now. I haven't seen anything at least that maybe makes me think otherwise. So hopefully he recovers from this injury. But, you know, as we learned very quickly last season in the preseason, like, people can get injured in the preseason. If somebody's already injured, don't force them back. Don't, you know, give them their time and just make sure he's ready for the season. If I can think of one thing for Drake Callender, if I could talk to him and spend a second with him before the official season starts, I would say, I tell him, work on your distribution, your passing game. Like, that's one of the things I think he lacks. Like, Inter Miami has never had that ability to gain possession of the ball from the goalkeeper standpoint and get on an amazing run, you know, a nice throwing of the ball to the half field, getting a player in stride and having them go into a quick counter, or being able to, like, any time that we'd be playing out of the back and the ball was passed to Drake and Drake had the ball at his feet inside the box, like, I'd be nervous. Like, yeah, there were many moments where I think that we could really see his lack of that part of the skill set. So I would just want him to work on that. Other than that, I think he did pretty well in every other aspect. There were maybe some issues with him, the way he came out to challenge balls in the air or set pieces or different things like that. But other than that, like, I would want him to focus on his passing game, and that'll really be what'll take him to the next level and also really take Inter Miami to the next level and unlock something that they don't have right now, which is, again, that quick transition game with the goalkeeper. So other than that, I think Drake's still the guy in line to be the number one goalie.
Yeah. I mean, he was, I said this, especially the season before, but even last season for a large part of it too. I mean, he had some ups and downs. I still think he's one of the best just pure shot stoppers in the MLS. Like, he's an excellent shot stopper. Obviously, I 100% agree the ball playing needs to improve. Maybe some of those, I think, more mature goalkeeper things, like, you know, knowing when to punch it out, knowing when to call it out, knowing what the right pass is. Some of those things take just time and you know, need to grow. The most important thing is being able to, like, stop a goal. And I think he's still very good at that. He's still young a lot of time. It was a shame he didn't get to play in this U.S. men's national team camp. But yeah, well, I think game one, if he recovers and everything is, you know, as is right now, nothing changes, I expect him to be starting. You never know, again, with this team and with this coach, that could change, but that's what I expect for our season openers, is for him to go and to, you know, make sure he's defending his job. But before we move on, I did want to give a quick shout out, as we were kind of talking about the U.S. men's national team. Benjamin Kremaski was called up for the national team, and, you know, I thought he was excellent. The first game, a little shaky, and that could have just been, you know, playing with new players. Maybe nervous because it was at the Inter Miami. It was at Chase Stadium. Especially in the second game in Orlando, he played really, really well. He represented his country incredibly well. He's playing for, obviously, a hugely esteemed coach in Mauricio Pochettino, on a U.S. men's national team that is, you know, a year away from hosting the World Cup, and he knows he's going to continue being on this big stage. Every time he plays with Messi, he's going to be on that world stage, and being able to perform at that level and you know, hopefully earn a spot for what's going to be a really exciting 16 months of U.S. soccer. So shout out to him.
Shout out to him. Any time you can get capped, it's a good thing for you, yeah, for professionally, especially for such a young player, a guy that really has gotten more minutes than he would have if it wasn't for certain things that happened with the team with injuries early on. And it ended up being a blessing. It's really been a revelation for Inter Miami and everything that they've been able to do with their academy products. And it's a testament to what they do. They're building up young players. And kudos to Benjamin Kremaski. He definitely earned that spot. And I just hope that that's just another way to propel him to, I think, the level that hopefully we'll see him get at this season, if not next. But it's still early on in his career. I don't think he should feel rushed. I don't think any of us should have the, you know, too high of an expectation for him. I think right now 2025 is just another year of growth for Benja with our team, and he'll be a great benefit for us.
I 100% agree. I mean, like, the trajectory for Benja's potential has just continued to rise, and now him training with the national team and getting this experience playing in his home stadium against teams like Venezuela, that's a huge game, and then now with Costa Rica, like, playing on these stages is really, really helping with his development, and you can tell that he is he's really grown, like, as a person, as a player. Like, he seems more mature, and you could tell from his interviews the way that he presents himself and things like that. And I really hope that that can reflect on how his performances are on the field, and, like, we can just continue to see him, you know, grow as a player and just be the best that he can. Like, I'm very excited for Benja.
Yeah.
Agreed. I mean, yeah, I really did think he played outstanding in Costa Rica, like, really held his own. And you're playing with, you know, some of the best players in the country against a team of the best players of their country. Like, it's difficult. And I think it's a testament also to Inter Miami, which is part of, you know, come if you're a young player, you have talent. He was academy, of course, but, you know, players who maybe not quite ready to make the jump to Europe or want to get to that next level. I mean, you're seeing it with Kremaski, a young kid, 16 academy, played with Messi, had a couple great games, now is, you know, part of the squad and is getting chances to play on the U.S. men's national team from an MLS academy player. That's really big, and that's what we want this club to show. Another academy player who, in my opinion, and Javi Guerrero, who is one of our very good friends, and in the press box here in Miami, we talked to him a lot about the U.S. men's national team, and we both believed Ian Frey is one of the most talented young American prospects that we have, and has been absolutely plagued and devastated with these injuries that have made everyone so upset. And you saw when he played last season, he is so freaking talented. And if he had played consistently, if he did play consistently over these couple of years, I would have said he could have been in competition for Serginho Dest for the right back position of U.S. team. And I mean, that's a bold statement, but we all watch Inter Miami and we all watch Ian Frey. And I just think he is wickedly talented. And it's really great to see that he's back in training already. I mean, surprising to me that it's so quickly.
Yeah. I love that take, huh? Competing with Serginho Dest. I love that. I never thought about it that way. I never thought about that way.
That says, I mean, it says a lot. And I got to agree. To me, Ian Frey is the best right back that Inter Miami has, in my opinion. Can you hear me, by the way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Just if you didn't notice that was a technical difficulty. Literally an Apple
iPod. Your AirPod fell out,
AirPod just flew out of my ear. I still have one, though, so that's good. But look, Ian Frey is, by far the best right back that Inter Miami has. His ability not only to defend and be in the right places, challenge the ball correctly, but also the part that he brings to the offense is just incredible. Yeah. We saw when he made his return, he was like a scoring machine. His ability to head the ball, his aerial game is like, Inter Miami benefited from that so amazingly. And I think that for me, I would love to see him get more time, but do not rush this man. He has gone through four excruciating season ending injuries. He's still so young in his career, and we've seen so many players plagued with injuries that could have reached the top levels and unfortunately never made it. I don't want this to be Ian Frey's story. I want him to excel. I want him this year to just take it easy. Maybe it's one of these seasons where he's not playing every game. Maybe he plays every two or three. Just keep him active, keep him getting minutes, and we'll see. I don't know. Look, I was one of the guys that right off of the bat with Chelo, I wasn't the most optimistic, and I'm still not. I'll be honest. I didn't want Chelo on this team.
I'm blaming you.
And I don't think he's lived up to what those that tried to convince me that he was a good signing for this team. He hasn't lived up to that.
Yeah.
I think he's adequate. That's what he is. He's adequate. You want a guy on this team at any position to be a guy that stands out, especially when you got a team that's going to be playing Champions Cup, that's going to be playing FIFA Mundial de Clubes, playing all these tournaments. You need a guy that's going to be a difference maker. And Ian Frey, at such a young age, is a difference maker on this team. So I'm very happy when I saw him and saw the footage of him finally practicing again. And to what you said, I think, Ashley, like in such a quick amount of time, like that was fast. Because I remember so being fast. In the press box.
Yeah.
You remember, Ash, when we were in the press box and he went down, everybody was just looking at each other and saying, he knows.
I think it changed, honestly, our playoff trajectory at that, yeah. that moment.
Yeah, it very well could have. It very well could have.
But I'm happy he's back. We all obviously thought the worst, but to see him back and hopefully the nutrition, the training, the all that stuff is working well, because I really believe it. He is so insanely talented.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
DC politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points. Perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
And if it wasn't for these injuries, he'd already be in Europe. Like, he's that good. He's that good. So I'm hopeful for him.
We just can't rush him. I don't want, because I think that rushed him a little bit last year in some of the games. So if we can just tread carefully and not force him into playing too many minutes, then I think he can get back on track and to what you said, and playing being our best right back option, playing consistently, hopefully soon. But yeah, no,
it's great. Agreed. It's exciting stuff. Yeah. All right. Well, it's been 28 minutes, and I think it's about time that we talk about the name of the show and the reason why we're all here, and that's Lionel Messi. Beanie Messi, kind of like Hoodie Mellow, as Jello. I just call you Jello. Gian said. Now I'm thinking of the Ball Brothers. Beanie Messi has made his debut for Inter Miami. Obviously, it's been a bit chilly here, not as much compared to the rest of the country or world, really, but a little chilly for these Inter Miami morning trainings. But why we say Beanie is because he just looks happy. He looks happy. He looks excited. Getting videos of him, training with Lewis, training with his friends, everybody. Looks like he has a good attitude and he looks excited. I mean, what are you thinking about Messi this year? What's your prediction?
Messi has I think he has that fire in him. I know it's cold out, but he has that fire in him. I know for a fact that he is butthurt, that he was upset that they couldn't win. I know for a fact, because he is so competitive. And I know I'm not that old, so I haven't been. But since I was a little kid, when I've been watching Messi, I know for a fact that he is the most competitive player in the entire world. And so when he loses, he's going to show you. He's going to show you that he's going to want to win next time. Messi wants to win the MLS Cup this time. And I think him being in good spirits with in training with Suarez and with his teammates and all the things like that, I think that it's a great sign to show that he's back, that he's ready, that he's healthy, that he's ready to take the league over by storm once again, and hopefully be lifting a different kind of trophy, a better trophy for the club at the end of the year. That's what I think. 100%.
Yeah. He's definitely, I agree with you. Like when you saw him lose, he was just his like personality. Like sometimes you can't tell 100%, but if you really know him, if you followed his career, like you can know he was pissed. Yeah.
Like, he's so mad. He was so mad.
Yeah. He was angry. He was,
but he had to show poker face. He had a poker face. So he couldn't show that, but we know what it is inside.
Yeah. Those of us that have followed his career for a long time know that he was pissed off and he's going to come back with a vengeance. And I'm just here. I'm here online while you guys were talking and I'm Googling Messi Barcelona beanies to see when he wore that beanie and what year it was and if they won a Champions League, if they won La Liga, just so I can kind of if I can tie it to here, because it may mean something. Like it really may mean something.
It could be.
Yeah. So I'm gonna do further research on that and see what they won the year he wore a beanie in Barcelona. But it's just funny, like Barcelona is like 20-30 degrees. It's like 50 here. He's wearing a beanie. So it may mean something, and on top of that, he's got a nice full set of hair this time. You know, it's longer.
The
comb over. I like his hair in the preseason game. I believe
in Barca, like I remember him with that haircut, and he was nasty. So this is like the return, you know. So
that's what I've been trying to do. I've been trying to throw it out, like him.
Yeah, you too, man. That's good. Let me know how you play with that hair.
I'll send you what I do in my routine.
But no, man, Messi. I think this is definitely the year that he's gonna want to win it all. I think that, you know, it's 2025. We've talked about whether he's gonna play in 2026, which a lot of us are in agreement that we'll probably see him play in 2026, but 2025, it's like, for me, it's one of the years where you're like, okay, this year is guaranteed. We don't know what he's going to look like in 2026. He just came off of a really good 2024. What's 2025 going to look like? I think this is going to be one of his best seasons within the last 3-4, even including with PSG. I think 2025 is really going to be the season of Messi. And for me, if he can stay healthy, this is a team that's going to win at least 2 trophies out of the 4, I think it is, or something like that, or 5, if that, depending on if you count one of those that we don't mention. But so I think that if he can be healthy, that's what's going to be most important. And especially when you're bringing in all these young talented guys that we've been talking about recently, like I think this is why you're bringing them in, to give him the rest. And that may be in different versions. That may be him not playing a game entirely. That may be as difficult as it is, and we know he doesn't like to come out of a game early. That may be getting him out of a game early or putting him in the game in the second half as opposed to starting in the first. I think we're going to see different variations of that. But if you get a healthy Messi, you get at least 2 trophies this season, and he's going to come back and really and prove, if there are any doubters, I don't know who can doubt Messi, but if there are any, he's going to prove them wrong. So
there's a lot of Messi haters. Yeah. I want Messi to leave Chase Stadium with the trophy in our final year at Chase Stadium with a big trophy. I really hope we can see that.
Agreed. Yeah. I mean, and look, you know, last year, obviously, he knew he had the pressure of Copa America for Argentina. Yeah. He knew it was in the middle of the season. A lot of question marks for the Inter Miami team, and it was going off of a season where we, you know, finished what, 15th, and so it was, last season had its ups and downs, and I know his focus was Copa America, and he said it, and he was clear, and there was so much pressure with that. They won, obviously he got injured, but he's gotten the last 2 major trophies for Argentina in the last 2 tournaments, has done everything he's wanted with his career. And I know the plan is to play in the World Cup next year. Everyone knows it's the plan. And I think he still has that competitive spirit where he's like, I'm the best. I'm still the best. I'm still going to be the best for Argentina. And I'm still one of the best in the world. And I think this season is going to hopefully be one of consistency, where he's going to be part of all of these tournaments. He's going to, you know his love for the game and get to enjoy this year, right? Obviously, there's going to be different World Cup qualifiers and, you know, camps and things like that where he'll go. But it's a year of just focusing on Inter Miami and you know, year 3. I think it's going to be really exciting. And, you know, knock on wood, no big injuries. I expect him to be very good and this team to be very good. And I mean, we say it all the time, and it's so crazy because it's really 100% true. Like, it's 100% true. He would start on anyone's World 11. Like today, he'd start, if he's healthy, he's in anyone's World 11. And that's crazy. That's crazy. He still is. But it's like, it's not a question. It's not like a debate. Like, oh, would you like, yeah, he's your starting right wing for any team in the world. Yeah. And so he's on our team, and I'm excited about that.
Unlike Ronaldo, nobody wants him.
Well, you know, we don't want to always make it too much messy.
Sorry, versus Ronaldo, sorry.
But no, it is true. Like I brought it up in our last episode. He still plays for Portugal, and he's had some good goals mm-hmm. recently. Still, obviously, one of the best to ever play the game. But it's true, when you're putting them side by side as they kind of move towards the end of their careers. I mean, Messi is still literally still one of the best players in the world by a long shot. And Ronaldo still is great, but it's pretty amazing to see the level that Messi still plays at on all fronts. It's super great to watch. Like, we're very lucky. Yeah. And this year, he has a new coach, right? So, Mascherano, let's talk about him. What are your thoughts, Matt, before we even go into this? Because we talked with Fabian last week. Great episode, by the way. Check it out with Fabian Renkel, MLS Insider, about bringing on Mascherano. And, you know, it's obviously a gutsy decision by Inter Miami. Part of the Argentinian, I don't want to say bloodline, but, you know, part of that group and family. And so far he has one win, which we'll talk about later. But, you know, making a big statement here with saying no Busquets at center back. What are your thoughts on him? How do you think it's going to go?
Not putting Busquets at center back, or just him as a coach?
Mascherano first, and then this particular.
Mascherano first. I mean, everybody had their doubts with Mascherano, obviously not having any club experience as a coach, and only just the youth international. But I think I have a lot of faith in him. As somebody who's Argentinian, and I've watched Mascherano coach the youth teams. I know more or less what he can do with these younger guys. And now that we're bringing in these younger players, I think that he knows how to coach them, to manage them, to teach them, and to make them the best that they can possibly be. And I know that I still have my doubts, obviously. I still have my doubts because, like, this is his first, like, real managerial job. But at the end of the day, like, he's my coach at the end of the day. Like, now he's my coach and he's going to have my full backing. But I'm really excited to see, like, what he can do with this team in terms of structure, in terms of tactics, in terms of just, you know, overall, like, what he wants to bring to the game, because we already got an idea of what he wants to do. And I think it's very exciting for Busquets at center back, for him saying no to Busquets at center back. It's like, sure. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, honestly, like, no, like, so, I mean, like, if you think about it, like, we have El Toto Avilés, who I think is going to have a way better season this year. I think he's going to hopefully perform better this year. We have Martinez. We have Falcón, who hasn't been announced, but he probably will be coming. We have Noah Allen, who surprised everybody at the center back position.
Yep.
We have depth. Like, we have Lujan, who can play center back if he really wants to, if he doesn't take Chelo's spot. But, like, we have the center back position covered in terms of a pairing. If you want to play Busi as, like, an anchor, if you want to play him as a more advanced role in the center mid, then so be it. I think that would probably help a lot, especially if you have Telasco Segovia as his partner, as, like, a double pivot. If God forbid somebody gets injured, we need to put Busi back there, I'm fine with that too. Honestly, Busi is that type of player who's so world-class. And as somebody who's lucky enough to be able to go see him now play at Inter Miami, like, seeing him in person, you can tell that this guy is still on a completely different planet than it's everybody like slow else.
Motion for him.
It's insane. And if I recommend Agreed. People do that, if you have the chance to see Busi live, please do it, because it'll change your perspective on how just better, like, they are, like, how much better, like, he is, how legendary of a player he still is, and how easy he makes it. So I think no matter what decision Mascherano does, I think it's going to be the right one.
Yeah, well, I mean, while I am a bit more skeptical than you, Matt, when it comes to Mascherano, I will say
Fair.
You do have a point with, you know, he did coach Aviles. He coached Cremaski at one point. He coached Redondo. So he does have, I think, that relationship already with some of these young guys. And we know how much Inter Miami's banks on the development and the young personnel that they have on the team. So I think from that aspect, you have a great point, and I think that he'll excel in that part. It's yet to see, we're yet to see if he'll excel, especially so early on in his coaching career with a team that has this caliber of players and is going to be going into a year with, I mean, top level competitions. So, you know, just as you said, I'm pulling for him. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter how skeptical I am. I definitely want to see him perform well, and I want this team to perform well. So the backing is there 100%. When it comes to Busquets, there could be nothing bigger for this team than Busquets back where he's supposed to be. Because we saw last season with Busquets going into the center back role, okay, maybe you felt a little safer at center back, even though he was beat sometimes when it comes to speed, which is normal. That's not his position. But the way that he had that back line kind of performing, where they were standing at all times, it was like having a coach in there with you. Yeah. I think we could see the difference. But you also saw the difference in the midfield, where it was that connection between the back line and the front two was not there. That ability to get the ball and distribute right away and open up the passing lanes was not there and sorely missed. And I think that cost us moving on in the playoffs. I think that he played center back in the last two. I don't remember if it was a whole series.
He was sick, right? Wasn't he sick for one of them?
Yeah, I know that he wasn't there. He didn't play in the midfield for at least two of those. I can't remember if it was all three. Mm-hmm. But the team looked like in the middle, they just looked off, completely off. Yeah. And when you were expecting guys like Redondo to take over in that aspect, it just didn't happen. So for me, hearing Busquets is back into the midfield, it was expected, but it's just good to like that reassurance, right? To have Busquets there. And as you said, Matt, like if you get a chance to see that guy in person, because sometimes the way that the TV imaging is, maybe they focus on another part of the field. If you just focus, take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, just focus on where Busquets is at all times, his vision, everything. It's really something to watch. So I'm very glad to hear Matidano say that.
Yeah,
it's true. It's like watching someone on expert mode. I mean, same with Jordi, same with Messi and Suarez. Like I said earlier, like if you're watching just them play, they are still at a completely different level than most of the other players in MLS. Like, it's amazing watching them play. Almost sometimes feels like a different sport. It's really exciting. Yeah. I really like that take on Mascherano. You know, there obviously have been a lot of question marks, but having the confidence and belief in him, and you said you've been watching a lot of Argentinian youth, I think that's great. It'll be exciting to see. Do you know why I said that? Because I was about to have a fire transition. Speaking of Argentinian youth. I'm on expert mode today.
You're on it. You're the pussy of this show right now, I think.
That's true. Distributing transitions. That's right. That's insane.
I've been thinking about it the last 5 minutes. I've looked at what you guys have said. I'm kidding. But in all seriousness, Facundo Farias looks like for sure going to Estudiantes in Argentina. Player that in preseason last year had an unfortunate injury. After what we were really excited to see him continue to play with Messi and everyone. Didn't turn out that way. Wish him all the best. You know, it's tough. It's sad. He's also a really nice guy. Had a lot of talent. Yeah, I mean, do we think this is going to be the one that got away, or does it seem like it's kind of what the team has to do? This can be
he's,
anyone. Yeah,
he's the one. He's the one that got away. Definitely. I mean, I was so excited to have him back in 2025. Like, I really was. I thought that he was going to be a difference maker with those flashes that we saw of him playing before he got injured in the preseason. It was just his speed, his presence in attack, I think, was very helpful, especially with a team that, you know, I know we had Robert Taylor and that sort of thing, but I think that Facundo is obviously above Robert Taylor. But when you had guys like Suarez and Messi, who are amazing, but don't really have that speed that they did in their youth, and you had a guy like Facundo Farias that really provided that speed and attack, I think that was invaluable.
Argentina, what a transition by me. I'm not over it.
But we'll see. You know, I hope he does well, obviously, over there. And maybe it's just part, it's just part of business as well. I know that Inter Miami, if I'm not mistaken, maybe sold part of the pass, and so they have the a sell on benefit if Estudiantes does sell him again at some point. So it's just business. And then they bring in a guy like Fafa, which is also has the speed as we saw, and you know, and we'll talk about that, the match. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, we still have that speed. But hey, best of luck to Facundo. Wish he would have had more time with us.
I mean, I agree with you on that end. I mean, like, I really wish we would have seen kind of the, I guess you could say, the full potential of Facundo Farias and what he could have done with the team. This was 100%, in my opinion, it was 100% a business move. I think, like, yeah. I think probably most teams kind of wanted Facundo, and I didn't think Inter Miami wanted to take that risk with him getting injured again, and they really didn't know what to kind of expect from him coming back from that injury. And with the price tag over his head, it's like, okay, like, this honestly doesn't seem that bad. We can use that money to bring in other players and probably just as good as him. So, hey, man, you're probably going to fall in love with Tadeo. Maybe Tadeo is, like, the next Facundo Farias. So, you're like, you know what I'm saying? But I think this is I'm not happy about the move. I'm not sad about the move. But I think it's, like, it's just a good, you know, it just happens, you know? Like, it happens in football. And
And they just freed up a U22 spot also. So I think I got to agree with you, Matt. It's definitely leaning towards the business side of it more than anything else.
Yeah.
I mean, look, Diego Gomez, I wasn't happy to see him go, but you'd take that deal 100 times out of 100, 1,000 times out of 1,000. And I mean, Campana too makes me sad, but they got a lot of value out of that deal. So you have to, you know, when you have Messi, Suarez, Busquets, you know, Alba, et cetera, there's concessions you have to make in other aspects. Wish him nothing but the best. Last topic to go through, and we saved it for the end, was about the first Inter Miami game that we've had since we last spoke. We've had our first preseason match, and it ended with a victory against Club America in Las Vegas. It was a 2-2 draw that we went to penalties, and we won in penalties. Highlights from that match really center around Messi. Fact that, one, he scored. Two, he scored off of a header. And three, obviously did a bit of a salty gesture, you may say, to the Mexican supporters at the match, that it's a bit unlike him, but maybe it's Beanie Messi. Maybe this is just the guy we have. Could be, just has that spirit. But yeah, overall thoughts on the game. Obviously first preseason, but starts with a W.
Listen, this is the first trophy in our cabinet this year, okay?
Yeah,
like, we can't forget.
Dion probably thinks it's more valuable than the supporter shield.
It may be. In fact, I'll probably get in trouble for that. So never mind. I didn't say that.
Funny. That's so funny. But hey, look. Are we talking about the result, or are we going to talk about Messi gesture?
And start, like, with the result, then you can go to the Messi gesture.
I mean, obviously, this is a great result. Obviously, I mean, first game as Mascherano head coach, Messi scores. I mean, we see Avilés score. This is a lot to take from this, and we got to see a good amount of what to expect for this coming preseason, at least. And playing against a team like Club América is amazing. Like, one of the better sides in Mexico, and going to Las Vegas where like the majority of like that population is on their side, it's like you have to this is huge. I think this is a great result for us, and it definitely shows promise of what we're capable of doing.
Look, if there was one takeaway from this game, it was, by God, the worst penalty shootout I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, I was like, what is going on here? Like, this is, bro. Like,
it wasn't just me, thank God. I was like, dude,
I was like flabbergasted. I was like, I don't even use the word flabbergasted. I've never said that in my life. And that's how bad this penalty shootout was. Holy cow. Thank God for Santi Morales. Like, thank God. Hey, talking about the youth, man. This guy, kid, comes in 17 years old, first appearance for the senior team, and wins us, as you said, Matt, our first silverware of 2025 with the last penalty kick, man. Hey, it's cool. It was a cool moment, I would say, to see him be able to do that, his celebration and how happy he was. Obviously, how happy his father was, who's an assistant coach for us. So I thought that was really cool. I thought it was interesting to see you know, I don't know how much it has to do with maybe with I guess like how they are, the players are physically and that sort of thing, but to see maybe, you know, Taylor start instead of Gressel, does that mean something, or is it just maybe Taylor's not going to get a lot of playing time, so he just, that's just more of Mascherano maybe feeling him out and seeing what do I have in Taylor. I thought that was interesting. Obviously Picault right away with Messi and Suarez, even though it was more of, I think, like a 4-4-2 than anything. Yeah. Noah Allen at center back, as we mentioned earlier on, that was something that Tata Martino started. Noah Allen was more of a left back, a backup great left back. Allen really was, I think, a nice, it was nice to see him excel at that center back position. And now Mascherano's doing the same thing. So that was interesting to see. But I think the team did well overall. First game of the preseason, and a lot of times at the first game of the preseason, come on, we can't really make a lot of determinations. You can't underreact, overreact. Like, you have to just take it for what it is. First game, people are starting to get their feet wet again. So I thought that was good. But one of the things is, obviously, going into 2025, we're going to be in the FIFA Mundial de Clubes, and you know you're probably going to play Mexican size, maybe have to travel to Mexico. I think that this was a good, while it wasn't in Mexico, it was against a really good Mexican team, champion of La Liga MX, and you're playing in Las Vegas, which has a lot of Mexican fans in it. So I thought that was a good test for them. And then obviously with Messi, we know Messi's going to Messi, especially Beanie Messi. And he definitely had a little fun with the Mexican fans. We know that the Mexican fans always rag on Argentinians. We know there's beef there
all day.
Yeah,
all
especially day. In the World Cup. You know, I think that the Mexican fans are still a little, how we say in Spanish, ardidos. They're still a little, you know, salty. Bothered with salty with that 2-0 win in the World Cup that Argentina had. So a little bit of fun never hurts. It makes it exciting. So I thought that it was cool. But overall, I don't want to take too much out of this game. It was, I think they looked good for a first game.
Yeah, he's bringing the energy. He's like I'm here. I'm him, and I like it. Hey, look, that game against Mexico, that goal he had in the 50 something minute against Ochoa. I mean, that is what catapulted to what was eventually a World Cup victory. And you know, the most important and proudest moment of his career. So I'm sure he still feels really strongly about that. And I mean, look, we lost in Champions Cup last year against Monterrey. Okay. And you know, he doesn't like to lose. So I think we see that firsthand. His first game, his first goal for Inter Miami against Cruz Azul. I mean, these are all already a lot of big moments involving Mexican clubs and the Mexican team. So yeah, a bit of fun doesn't hurt anyone. I'm glad Aviles got that goal. Hopefully gives him that confidence that we need, because we need him to have, I think, a stronger season than last year. And yeah, I mean, Messi header, we'll take it. Game one in the books, game two. That's what's coming up. And it's, talk about a big atmosphere and a hostile atmosphere. 80,000 plus tickets sold already for this game in Peru. That is going to be, I mean, look, everyone just wants to see Messi. They know there's not that many times left to see him, and they want to. And so it should be a good environment and really exciting.
Yeah, I just want to tell the Peruvian fans, the Universitario fans, it's all on you guys to convince Conmebol with your presence, with your atmosphere, that Inter Miami and Messi need to be in Copa Libertadores. Come on, guys. We need you guys to go all out in this.
Can you imagine how crazy that'd be?
Oh my God.
Yeah. So this will be a precursor to what maybe something that like that looks like. I know it's far fetched. I would love to, my team in Ecuador, Liga de Quito, we won Libertadores in 2008. I will say I would love to see Messi and Inter Miami in Libertadores. There's nothing like it. Champions League is nothing, doesn't come close. Libertadores is an animal of its own. Come on, Universitario, you guys got to bring the atmosphere, bring the fun, and this will be a fun. I'm definitely going to watch this one. I think it'll be exciting. There's nothing like a South American atmosphere in my eyes. It's a bit more grit, dirty. Which actually, saying dirty, be careful, guys. Please, nobody get injured.
Oh yeah.
Be very careful. But it'll be a fun match.
And this is not just any Peruvian side. I mean, like, I'm no expert on the Peruvian league. This is the, like, one of, they've won the league last year. This is one of the better. This is one of the better Peruvian sides. So we're playing a top Peruvian team in Universitario de Deportes, and against what is arguably to some people, to most people, the best team in the MLS. So it's like, this is going to be a great game. This is going to be a fantastic game and a true test to see what Inter Miami can do against a big another big team at their turf. And I think it is going to be exciting. I can't wait to see this game.
Yeah, agreed. Exciting, good atmosphere, and the season's coming thick and fast. We're here, and God, I'm excited. It's going to be really fun. This was a really fun episode. So thank you so much, Matt, for joining. Thank you for helping us get through all of those topics, which I obviously transitioned through perfectly.
Beautifully.
But more importantly, we talked about a lot of stuff. Really exciting, really fun. It's going to be a hell of a season. Hopefully we'll be seeing more of you, Matt, as part of this channel and part of just being, you know, commentating, because we had a lot of fun.
Yes, no, thank you so much, guys, for having me. This has been a blast, and you guys are awesome. You guys are hilarious, and you guys are obviously very skilled in your transition, so I need more of that. We need to see more of that.
Best transition podcast.
That's what they call us, messy and co-transition, yeah. Awesome. Well, then I think we can leave it there. Almost an hour, a ton talked about. Let us know in the comments your thoughts, if you know, how you feel about the players, how you feel about the matches, what you're most excited about for the season, how you feel about Beanie Messi, most importantly. If you take anything from this episode, it's that.
Oh, yeah.
But thank you so much for watching. Thank you again, Matt, SoFlo Soccer, for joining us. I'm Ashley, that is Gian. Follow us at Messi & Co. on X, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.